Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, friends, to One World Talk Show with your host, Greg L. Greer. That'd be me. Today, we're talking about a rough issue with some truly brave people. I'm going to tell you, my hat goes off to these two individuals. And the issue of the hour that we're talking about is not just police brutality, but when the police have come into our communities and it's resulted in the fatality. And these two ladies, I give my hat to them. And, you know, they are godsends because they have done a lot in the community, even after above and beyond the lives being taken of their children. So we're going to tackle this issue. And I just want to say, again, my hat goes off to you folks. And I'm going to introduce the two of you real soon after the sweep. But I just want to make sure that both of you are with me. You with me?
I'm here.
Me, Coach? Okay, Jack. Okay, wonderful. So give me a second, and I'll go ahead and get the introductions. And, you know, I appreciate both of y'all being on. So let's have at it. You know, like I said, it's a rough one for me, so, you know, just bear with me. So I'd like to welcome everybody to One World Talks, which brings the best information in faith, politics, and news, all done from an inspirational perspective. Today our show is sponsored by Chicago's Blueprint Bridge Media, one stop for all of your advertising needs. Today's sweep, basically, for the third year, y'all listen to me, for the third year in a row, police nationwide have shot and killed nearly 1,000 people. It's a grim annual tally that has persisted despite the widespread scrutiny of officers' use of force. And, you know, we kind of in trouble right now with this White House. Let's just keep it all real. Last year, police fatally shot 987 people. I'm going to say that again so everybody can hear me. 987 people, or two dozen more than they killed in 2016. Okay? According to an ongoing Washington Post database project that tracks fatal shootings since 2015, the Post has logged the details of 2,945 shooting deaths. And that was accumulated from local media news coverage, public records, and social media reports. While many of these year-to-year patterns remain consistent and haven't changed over the last 3 years that we've tracked, the number of unarmed black males killed in 2017, they say, has declined. You know, hey, that's debatable. Last year, the police killed 19, a figure that tracked closely to the 17 in 2016. In 2015, they shot and killed 36 unarmed black males. Now, we hear about and we'll talk about some of those nationally known issues, you know, Tamir Rice, Alton Sterling, you know, I mean, the list goes on. So in 2014, the Marshall Project, which has been also curating some of the criminal justice reports from around the web and around the country, in these records you'll find some of the most recent and authoritative articles on the topics, people and events. But let me just say this. We don't need numbers. We don't need any of that, because guess what? We have the people right here that we're talking to, and what better sources to learn from? You know, how do we protect our communities? And that's what these two special young ladies will be able to tell us. They're guests on our show today, and I tell you what, if you want to call in on a national level, 213-943-3684. I'm going to say that again, on a national level, 213-943-3684. So, ladies, you've joined the very tragic club of parents that have had their children murdered from police, one from Chicago and one from Charlotte, North Carolina, but both people who I appreciate and I care for. And as a side note, they have given back to the movement. They really have, and each in their own way. And I call them modern-day Rosa Parks. So I'm going to welcome you. We'll start with Miko Chosen, and Miko's from Charlotte, North Carolina. Miko, I'll go ahead and let you tell the people about yourself and, you know, the specifics as far as what happened to your child. Welcome.
Miko,
hold on, Miko, you might want to talk up. Yep, got you now, all clear.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. My son was Larico Williams, and he was age 21 when he was tasered to death by CMPD, Officer Michael Forbes, who still currently has a job, and he was found guilty of using excessive force by a jury trial, and it was a jury of all his peers, which was an all-white jury. And he was found guilty of excessive force, and currently this police officer is still active and has a job. They did a lot of covering up in my son's case, altered audio, altered video. They went to the extent of putting a fake charge on him, stating that he was going to court the very next day for assault on a government official, and it just looked so shoddy and crappy that you could tell it's like somebody copied and pasted it. And that was not even the case. But now if you look my son's name up, they done wiped him out the system, because when I started speaking about it and I exposed him, now they took it out where can't nobody see it. But the only reason why they did that is because they know the media love to pull a person's record to try to justify the act that was committed. And one don't have nothing to do with the other. So.
Yeah. Well, definitely welcome you, and I appreciate your bravery. And, you know, hey, listen, heart goes out to you. Jacqueline, or Jackie Calhoun, who's my auntie, for full disclosure, I'd like to welcome you to the show. And, please introduce yourself to everyone and just specifically tell what happened.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. And are you able to hear me okay?
Yeah, it's loud and clear.
Okay, great. So my name is Jacqueline Calhoun, and my son was Lawanzo Cottrell Brooks. He also, like Miko's son, was 21 years of age when he was shot and killed by a Chicago police officer, Robert Hale. We actually never made it to court, but like in Mr. Williams' case, they did a lot of covering up, a lot of lying. They even placed a gun that had been in police lockup, had been taken off the street the week before my son was killed. That gun was in police lockup. Somehow it ended up next to my son. When the police arrived on the scene. Nevertheless, there were two latent prints on the gun that did not match my son. So to this date, and that happened in 2001, September 14th, I'm not sure. We don't know whose print it was on the gun. But nevertheless, my son was killed by this police officer who is still employed with the Chicago Police Department. And to date, as a matter of fact, I looked him up about a month and a half ago. And since that time, he has had about 8 other cases against him where he has used excessive force. So we have a journalist. His name is Mr. Rowe. He was a journalist with the Chicago Tribune. He keeps this case alive. He has since retired and now teaches at Columbia College. And so he teaches a journalism class over there. And this is the one case that he uses. He has every student that comes through his class, he will have them pick this case apart. And each student always come up with the same thing: excessive force, unjustifiable homicide. So, it's really a bad thing that these things are allowed to keep happening. But until these officers are brought to trial and made to be held accountable, I think we'll continuously see this happening to our young boys.
Amen to that, you know. And you know, just for, you know, the two of you, you know, we hear a lot of national statistics about folks who have been shocked by police, but you know, we don't really hear a lot about, you know, when the fatalities happen through suspicious means, like being locked up and, you know, maybe while in custody, or strange stories that have happened when people have been transported to the prisons and you know, and that sort of thing. I mean, look at the case of Sandra Bland, you know, and I shudder to think that, because we all know, and we both know that as of course, Ferguson and Mike Brown and maybe a few other cases, you know, you see the rollout of police cameras, body cameras. But what about before they really start employing those videos? And body cams is basically not even 2 years old, that most jurisdictions are using body cams. What do you think about that? Because, again, you know, here's another example, and I want to ask the two of you. Chicago, the police department, the last prior police chief, his name was McCarthy, actually was found watering down the death tolls. Basically, if a young man was killed by police and it was 3 folks who were killed, basically they considered that as one homicide, and he got caught red-handed, watering those numbers down. How often do you think that happens? And this is a question for the both of you. And, I mean, how do you feel about that when, you know, you hear so much about gunshots or shooting victims, but what about the other types of fatalities that we don't hear a lot about when it comes to our children? What do you think about that? We'll start with you, Jackie, and then we'll go to Miko.
I think it's appalling, and it doesn't represent the police department at all. It's really bad that happens. If there's 3 murders and you say it's only one, what I question the motives, and I question the standards of the police chief. We don't need people like that in running our Chicago, running our police departments. What other lies? What other things are you hiding? If you would hide that, what other things are you hiding? That's my question. Is just like yours, Greg. What other things is being hidden? If you're hiding the actual death of young people and people in general, what else are you hiding? So I find it appalling. I find it appalling.
That's right. What do you think, Miko?
I mean, it's not surprising. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you real well now.
Okay, to me, it's not surprising, and I feel it happened more often than we really know, than what's documented or reported, because you have to think about how many complaints come in through the Internal Affairs Department and how many of them actually wind up going to a court. So it's probably more coming in than it is actually the ones that go to the courthouse. So I think it happens on a lot of different levels. And we can speak on training. It doesn't matter how much training they get. When they go out there, do they use it? It's a question. Because the officer that killed my son received training 2 months before he killed my son. and knew that you were not supposed to taser Senator Mass, and he beamed him, Senator Mass. So.
Yeah. So you know, and here's what I want to say too about that. You know, under this new administration, you know, we know for a fact, and for full disclosure, I've been on the front lines, as maybe the two of you or maybe some of our national listeners would know. I've been on the front lines. I actually advocated for the Tamir Rice case in Cleveland, Ohio, a young man who was whose life was taken by the Cleveland police. Right now I'm working on the Alton Sterling case out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I tell you, at the times where you can give five or six cases here in Chicago, where I'm from, but you can really take the time to say that, you know, we can conclude that there is a problem with the American criminal justice system, and it needs to be overturned. Wouldn't you agree there has to be an overhaul? Because there is a fact that they treat young black men, minority young folks, and not just men, women, and children of color differently than they do other nationalities, you know, and you know, there's a heaviness when it comes to certain communities than it is others, and it's not getting better under this administration, but it's gotten worse. How do you feel about that? And, you know, either one of you can answer that. I really want to know your feelings as far as, you know, the way that how do you think that the Trump administration views the problems with policing in our community?
Well,
this
is Jackie. From what I've heard, the things that President Trump is saying concerning the police, he's for the police, but I don't think he has upfront knowledge or a complete understanding of what really goes on behind the scenes. Just like you were saying about how they dummy down the numbers, that's just on that area. And like Nico was saying, how many others, what else is being dummied down? I agree that there needs to be a complete overhaul, but until someone is willing to step up and go in on the front line like you are, Greg, and just continue to call them on the carpet, until we're just going to keep having this. Now, President Bush was in office when my son got killed. This was 3 days after 9/11. So I really didn't even get a chance to mourn for the 9/11 victims, because I faced my own tragedy. But it doesn't matter the name on the front line of the administration. We need an overhaul with our police, period. The people that are called to serve and protect do not value life, especially the lives of young black men. And it's well known, it's well documented. And until America stands up and comes out and just stand up for what's right, we are going to continue to see this happening in our nation, period. All across this globe, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I so heartily agree. What do you think, Miko?
I mean, I don't know when it comes to the president. I don't know if it's more about what he don't know. I think it's more about what he do know. But we already know the laws aren't designed for us. They're designed to go against us. So in some instance, we have to accept that and quit feeling like that it's laws out there to protect us, when in reality they are not.
Sure.
In certain situations, if you look at it, you can look at an example, a black person and a Caucasian person had the exact same crime, do the exact same thing, and the bond is going to be lesser and the time is probably going to be less, or if none. When the bond is going to be excessive and the charges is going to be ridiculous and the time is going to be ridiculous. So, that's just how it is.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And let's be honest. circumstantially, most black people, including myself, and I hate to, I don't like talking globally for everybody. You know, there's a lot of people who do that, and they do it, you know, without question, but it's not fair. But I'm going to say this. Most black people that I know, including myself, just don't believe that we have the privileges or immunities of citizenship, a due process of life and liberty, mm-hmm. and equal protection of laws granted to other citizens. And the folks who were standing on me, I mean, there's a lot of us, the good majority of us that would stand up and say that for a fact. Within the African-American community, most when asked will say there are people who will say that they've never been stopped or marginalized or criminalized or convicted for their skin color. Yes, I understand that. But, you know, we have to say it and we have to understand, strangely enough, you see a similarity between a lot of these cases that we know, that we hear about, and we got to ask ourselves, you know, is the police structure routinely allowed to take advantage of citizens' lives? I mean, you know, there is a thin blue line, and a lot of the times these guys use creative methods to hide their injustice, like, you know, the way that they write the reports. You know, they'll lie on those reports in a minute. And, you know, myself, my major was criminal justice. So, you know, I use a lot of those skills to fight, you know, the cases. But police murders are stocking up, and they keep stocking up for the most part. And the only change around the country that we're seeing is because of social media, because folks in the community are protesting, they're standing up, and they're saying, hey, it's time for this to stop. You know, these are disturbing questions, and the other part about it is, you know, when it's investigated, guess who these cases are investigated by? They're investigated by internal affairs investigators who are basically police officers. So you got buddies investigating buddies. You don't have a lot of time outside boards or non-biased boards. So these are the questions that we got to start thinking about, because our fight is not is a physical fight. Yes, it's still a passionate fight, but you know, we have to test that. You know, where are we failing at? You know, a lot of these young men who are getting stopped, you know, they get a more heavy-handed approach if the officers think that they don't know the laws. You know, and I just think that it's time, you know your rights are valuable, and we have to start educating our children about these things. What's your opinion? What is your opinion? And I know we've talked about it in a various degree, but, you know, do you think that a lot of the folks in our community know enough about the laws? Or, I mean, what is your opinion about that?
Well, with social media on the rise the way that it is, a lot of things about your rights are coming across, and so a lot of people are becoming abreast of what the law, what the law says, and how you should conduct yourself whenever you are stopped by a police officer. But that does not mean that just because you know the law, and as a matter of fact, if you quote the law to a police officer, some of them may get upset just the fact that you seem to know what you're talking about. It may deter some from taking a hard course of action, but then at the same time, some other ones may get upset by that. So, you know, I've had my youngest son is 21, and I've had two instances in our community where he's been stopped, both by Caucasian officers, and each time it turned out really, 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 really well. And just to say the least, I was very upset and not knowing which way it was going to turn out. And just so happened, I happened to be driving past each time and was able to stop, and it was a good outcome. So all police officers are not the same. But as far as our rights are concerned, we do need to know our rights, and we do need to exercise our rights. But you just never know what type of officer is going to approach you.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. You're welcome to answer that, Miko, if you like.
Well, I look at it as do a lot of us know. There's a lot of, it's a few panel discussions and stuff that are out there, but the only bad part about it is some of us don't want to look at that political stuff because they feel like, oh, that ain't for us. Our vote don't count. We don't matter. And they don't understand that it do, so they can understand their rights. So they rather not worry about it if it's not something that's negative or somebody twerking or some just somebody fighting or something, you know, a police crime that has occurred and another protest. They're not worrying about, well, why don't you understand to know your rights? They're not focused on that because they feel like that don't matter to me, you know, and a lot of people don't understand when you get an attorney or a lawyer, you're basically saying that you're incompetent and you really can't handle it yourself. Sometimes you do have to do that because they rubbed enough elbows with a few people that they can do certain things that you can't do. But ignorance to the laws is no excuse. So if you're going to go out there and be doing things, you need to know how to stand on it.
I agree with everything that you're saying, and I apologize. You know, we are going to, in the 4 minutes left, let's do this. I just want you to tell folks, you know, what it is that you do now and, you know, since the loss of your loved one, and what have you done? Because I really think that people need to hear it. And if you could do that really briefly, just say what have you done to affect change? And we'll start with Jackie.
Well, basically, I talk to a lot of young youth as a minister and as a nurse. I talk to a lot of Black boys and just try to tell them how they should approach a situation. And it's not always hostile. If a police officer tells you to stop, just stop. Which that wasn't the case with my son. My son was a total different case. He wasn't stopped. He was literally shot in his back. We don't know what went on, but I tell the young men, if an officer of the law asks you to stop, stop. Don't argue. Don't. And if they grab you, as much as you can, try to go with the flow. Anybody being grabbed and shoved and pushed, you know, you're gonna want to pull away. You're gonna. But when it's an officer of the law. Try to go with the flow of it as much as you can, because at that point, if they got their hands on you, you have been detained. So try to go with that and not fight, because then they would begin to say that they are afraid for their lives. And, you know, that's the norm now. I was afraid for my life. And it's that perception that allows them to kill, you know, our boys. So basically that's what I do.
Amen.
Now, just speak to our young men and tell them what to do and
Amen.
What not to do in a situation.
That's right. What do you think, Miko?
Well, you know, for me, what I've done, I always keep my son's birthday going and his Memorial Day going. I've also am a board member with the organization, which is Safe Coalition, and it's for safety, accountability, fairness, and equality. And we do a lot of different things on the political level. We did raise the age, ban the box. We did a racial discrimination bill to talking about kids getting racially profiled. You had to get a certain number of, you know, people to be in agreement, but that didn't happen. But, you know, just speaking and letting them know what's going on.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we got 60 seconds, so what I'm going to say is I'm going to say thank both of you, and I will share your information, and if anybody wants to get in contact or anybody has any questions, they can reach out on the web page, on the website. We've got about 67,000 listeners, and what I also like to do real quick is I would like to start a Know Your Rights card with about 10 points that the three of us get together on, and we can distribute those to young high school kids around the country. We can do it through Freedom First International and a lot of the social media networks. Would you be interested in doing that project?
Yes, I would.
Would you folks be? Okay, let's do that, because I like a measurement on the table. And in 10 seconds, I want to say thank y'all for being on. And I'll tell you what, this is going to help a lot of lives. So thank you again for what you're doing. And I know 30 seconds is not a lot, but we're going to continue the show again. So listen, I appreciate y'all being on One World. And let's definitely get together again, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right, then. All right. Bless y'all. So thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. No problem.